Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show, hosted by author, investor, money partner, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris, equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, and welcome to our show. Today we're joined by Craig Hill. Craig works with me at the Norris Group. I met Craig many years ago when I was an investor looking for a money source, and he pretty much revolutionized my business. We went from being a small property buyer to a pretty good sized property buyer because he had access to money. Craig, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. How long have you been in the hard money loan business?
Probably about 22, 23 years now.
Okay. That term hard money sort of has an ominous tone to it. Why is it referred to as hard money?
I guess most people call it hard money because maybe it's when people have a hard time getting money, they turn to it.
Okay.
Basically, hard money really means just using private investor funds.
Okay.
Instead of banks or savings and loans, things of that nature. So it really, it just means using private money.
So the source of funding, as opposed to a Bank of America or something like that that we're more used to, comes from individuals? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And give me an idea of what kind of MO they have. What are they looking for? A lot of times people think that people like that are trying to sneak in the back door maybe and own the property, and I'm sure
exactly.
You find that to be much different.
Exactly. You kind of have two different groups. The group that I work with the most and for the longest, they're really looking for just a good return and safety. I mean, that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really looking for them to be put into an investment where they're going to get monthly payments on time, paid off on time, with really very little hassle. You do have another group of hard money lenders, if you will, that they are more the type where they're looking to get the maximum yield they possibly can. Those people a lot of times can run into trouble because if you're going to get maximum yield, you're probably going to get maximum problems.
Okay. You and I met somewhere around 13 years ago, maybe somewhere in that range. Prior to meeting me, who was the typical borrower that you were dealing with, and then how did that change after our meeting?
Yeah, typically before I met you, I was lending out second trust deeds to people who lived in their homes, generally were in trouble for one reason or the other, and they couldn't get money anywhere else. So the company that I worked for would lend small seconds to basically people in trouble, generally at about probably 70% loan to value. Basically, what that means is if the house was worth $100,000, they'd lend up to $70,000 or 70%.
Minus the first.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
When I met you, it was interesting because here was somebody that it was the exact same house. You came to me as a property investor with good credit, good credentials. So I could lend you less money on the same house, and it was in first position, which means it was a first trust deed instead of a second. And surprisingly, I had to go to the owner of my company and convince him that that was a good idea.
So we were a suspicious lot from the start.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. It's interesting because of that, and you and I talked about that. I made six payments in advance on each of those first two loans, and I think that might have had an effect on his attitude. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a completely different relationship from the start. As a matter of fact, once we met, I completely discounted all other types of lending personally and just started working, obviously, with yourself and then any other investors that I could find. Because here I had a relationship that could be ongoing.
A repetitive borrower.
Repetitive. Why all the other people at the office continued to look for that one good loan out of, 20 applications and keep asking me how long did I think that this investor lending was going to last.
Okay.
Well, 20 years later, it's still going pretty strong.
Yes, so. It is. Why would somebody, and I've borrowed my share of millions of dollars from you, but just the question will come up. Why would somebody borrow at hard money terms when there seems to be so much other cheap choices?
Yeah, that's probably the number one question I get. People that have like unlimited cash, they don't need to borrow hard money.
Right.
Somebody that's borrowing one property every 6 months, a lot of times they can get what people would refer to as conventional financing. But your property investor, they're a unique group. There's several reasons why hard money works for them. The first one, simply speed. A lot of times they get a house and they get a 30 to 40% discount on the house. The person selling them the house doesn't want to wait 60 days to get their money. I mean, there's normally a reason why they want that money fast, and hard money can accommodate that.
There may also be a reason why the home was bought at the 30 to 40% discount, as in condition.
Oh, absolutely. Condition is the second factor. A lot of times I'll get calls from somebody that is in the last, 5 days, I have to close this deal because my neighbor couldn't do it. He told me he could. He's a lender. But then his appraiser saw the house and decided, geez, unless you fix all this stuff, I can't do the deal.
Exactly.
So condition really doesn't matter. It's not even a factor for us.
What are some of the things that are factors when you're talking? Because I've spoken in front of lots of investor groups, and you'll have hard money lenders get up there and brag about that there's absolutely no credit requirements, just basically if you can still fog a mirror, then you can come in and borrow our dough. And at our company, it's different than that. So why do we actually pay attention to credit?
Well, one reason that we look at credit and the overall situation, and you and I have talked about this a lot, really. The main reason I think somebody's a good hard money lender is because they have money to lend.
Okay.
Okay. So criteria is very important in that. We have lent I don't know how many tens and tens of millions of dollars with really very little problems.
Right.
And because of that, we have access to almost unlimited funds. And that's a very important thing for our clients, because if they come to us, they want to know that we have funds to lend. If as a lender, you're not looking at credit, ability to repay the house, specifically, you can really get yourself in a lot of trouble. And if you're lending to people who have loans that are in trouble, that means your investors have loans that are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is they're not as anxious to lend the next time you ask them for money.
I would think that most lenders have a different type of support system in their lender base, in the sense that maybe when stock is a very attractive investment, perhaps some of their money base goes and does a lot of that, where I don't get the sense that our money base is looking for other solutions. We basically have a clientele that's interested in trusted investment. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's, we have an extremely loyal base.
Okay.
A large portion of our clients probably only invest in trusteeds.
And part of the reason why as a borrower it's good for me is that I know when I have a tight time frame, I've seen you make a phone call one time, typically for trustees ranging from $200,000 to $1 million, and it'll typically be one investor that says yes on the first call. How is that different than, say, what other companies might have to deal with on a fairly large loan?
Well, a lot of companies, if they have a $500,000 loan, they might have to put 10 people in it.
$10,000, $50,000.
Yeah, exactly. They break up their loans. With us, we just put one investor in, which not only it just makes it quicker. You can do the loan faster, and then on top of that, I do not believe at this time have one investor that will actually go out and look at the property.
So if you're sending 10 people the idea that this is a trusted investment, it's really likely that that investor is a different type of investor. He may not have more than, say, $50,000 to work with, and it's going to all be in this trusteed, and that lends itself to caution. I have to go see the property. Is that probably true?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. When we decided to work together about 11 years ago, I mean, my whole game plan was, instead of having 10 investors for like one deal, I wanted one investor that could fund 10 deals.
Right.
And it took a while to get there.
Sure.
But that's kind of where we are now. And as you mentioned, it's much easier to work with somebody that's at that level because it's just an easier investment for them to make.
Correct. They don't feel like they have to watch it so carefully, but they also sometimes have more experience. So when the $50,000 trusted investor goes to see the home, I'm wondering how often he understands, in fact, what he's looking at, whether it be too optimistic or not, not optimistic enough. He may just be scared.
Exactly. And we've joked about this, too. That's one reason why I don't go and look at the house, you know, because you don't know what you're going to see.
But it's also because, this is a very important topic, is that we have someone that we trust a lot to go see the property.
Exactly.
We've had Ken Pound look at every property pretty much since we've begun.
Right.
And when he says something is wrong with the property, he has our attention.
Exactly. And that's one service we provide also to investors. A lot of times I'll get the question, is this a good deal?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really feel comfortable answering that question. The investor should know that.
Yes.
But if during the process something comes up where I think it might be a bad deal, that's where I kind of step in and make sure that the investor takes a second look at it. Like, here's the numbers that we came up with, and here's why I think you might be looking at it wrong. At least you need to take a second look. So I think that's a very valuable service for somebody buying a house, especially if they're a relatively new investor.
Sure. In the last 3 or 4 years, investors have been able to get away with marginal buys because the prices have gone up and it bailed them out of any mistake they might have had in judgment of what it was really worth, or maybe the repairs cost a little more. Now that your prices are on the softer side and maybe headed down some, all of those errors in judgment are exacerbated where it really costs them their entire profit.
Oh, exactly. It can almost take a new investor and turn them into a former investor.
That's a great comment.
In other words, I had a client come in that I used to deal with maybe 6-7 years ago, and he brought his wife, and they were very excited about getting into the buying business again.
Okay.
And her comment was kind of funny because she said, I wanted to make $1 million this year as an investor.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, I don't think you can make $1 million this year, but you can probably keep yourself from making $1 million over the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's just a time for investors where they have to exercise a little bit of caution because it is a market where, you know, mistakes will not be, corrected by increases in value.
I see ads in the newspaper where people advertise that they want private money. They have a deal and they want to attract a private investor.
Yes.
Not connected with a broker, and that probably in their thinking is a wiser thing to do because it's cheaper. You've seen that. Can you give me an idea of why some of those go awry and why that maybe not such a hot idea?
Well, I think reliability is maybe the key factor. Once again, I get so many calls during a week, and it's just so many different types of calls. But one of the most common is, I was doing something else, and now I need to close my deal. Can you help me? And by the way, I need to close it in 2 days.
Right.
Well, that's a lot of that is because they've had one of those private individuals that told them they would fund the deal. And then all of a sudden, as they got closer, they realized, well, they had to get the money from somewhere. Or it wasn't really exactly cash. I can't help you now, but call me on the next one. In this business, performance is such a key, and we're moving into a time in the investor market where most houses will be bought either short sales, REOs, agents. It's really going to be relationship driven. And you don't want to get to near the finish line on your first deal and not be able to perform.
Absolutely.
And that's where if you deal with somebody that has the money, it's really a small price to pay to get in a loop where you're going to have repetitive business.
Do high returns sometimes attract people who really shouldn't be involved in the trustee investing at all?
Yeah, I think investors, and now we're talking about money investors,
right,
unfortunately, they can get a little impatient. Right now is a good time. We have tens of millions of dollars to lend, and I get a lot of calls from people that want to lend their money.
Right.
And unfortunately, because the deals now aren't as frequent, a lot of them I'm telling just to stay on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's better, and my investors understand that, than maybe putting your money into a deal and having a 2 or 3 year problem where you might lose money.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's better just to stay still than go backwards.
Can you give us kind of a blow-by-blow description of what would be a typical transaction for the Norris Group?
Yeah, typical transaction. Normally, I'll get a phone call. If it's somebody I know, we go right into the property. If it's somebody new, just quickly, I will get some basic information. We have an application they fill out that's very simple. I will ask them about their credit and their available cash and or credit line. And at that point, make an assessment if we can do the deal. And in most cases, you can work something out. Very rarely, you know, sometimes you get a call where somebody has poor credit and no cash, mm-hmm. and that's really a hard scenario to work with.
Right. We usually do say no to that.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So once we establish we're going to do the deal, it's very simple. We get a phone call. I look at the numbers. I have Ken Pound, who we mentioned earlier, go out and do an appraisal. The client will open up an escrow and a prelim. Within a couple days, I'll have that appraisal back. Hopefully by then, I can have the escrow and prelim. Then it's just a matter of FedExing out for money or myself carrying, you know, going out and hand carrying the money, signing the client, the borrower. And all that can be done very easily within a 10 working day period.
Okay. You mentioned a credit letter. Let's talk a little bit about that. Many brokers are going to start listing lender-owned property, and they're going to start seeing credit letters from lenders saying that this
exactly.
guy is going to be able to get this much. When somebody sees one of those letters from our company, what can they rely on that meaning?
Well, I've actually had somebody out in the field call me and say I'm making an offer with a real estate agent, and they'll take my offer if I can get a credit letter from yourself or the Norris Group.
Okay.
So I thought that was a pretty good statement. But beyond that, now we're into a market where you're going to have five people making an offer to an REO agent, and they're all going to have five pieces of paper. What I tell all my clients is I say, have them call me because I feel like I've had that conversation 500 times. Mm-hmm. And unless you're up against a guy that's going to actually write a check, I think we have a good chance of getting the deal, and that's what we want. So it goes, the credit letter is just a piece of paper, but it's what we can provide beyond that I think will help them get deals.
A lot of times that conversation doesn't happen until after an offer is accepted. An investor says, we're buying it as is, paying all cash, and then lo and behold, somewhere early in the escrow process, it turns out that the cash source is not money in their bank, but money in the Norris Group's circle. So you've had that conversation with some kind of afraid brokers because now they feel like, uh-oh, we may not have a deal here. Can you kind of explain how you always get them to feel better about that?
Exactly. When we first met, that actually happened not only with yourself,
yeah.
but other lenders. That happened on every deal.
Right. It was how you wrote
yeah,
offers.
That was just it. Now, fortunately, I know a lot. One advantage is I just know a lot of the escrow officers that handle that type of inventory. So if it's a letter from us, it's almost like we have automatic acceptance. If it's somebody new, normally how I handle it is I get the whole transaction ready to go. And when we're essentially ready to fund, I'll fax over figures to the escrow officer and let them know that here's my numbers, where would you like me to wire?
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, you know, sometimes they're a little upset because they didn't know sooner or this or that. But usually if you're ready to fund, they're not going to say that they don't want you to do the deal.
Absolutely.
So I get it pretty much to the close point. And that's when I introduce myself.
What are the terms of the typical loan that we fund, and why do we insist on a monthly payment being made rather than doing a straight note until the deal's done for them?
Okay, the typical terms of our hard money loan, we write every loan at 12.5%. We write a one-year term with no prepayment penalty. And for anybody that doesn't understand no prepayment penalty, it means you could pay it off in 3 weeks, and there's no penalty for paying it off early. The charge or cost is 3.5 points. And we do insist on monthly payments, and I have this conversation with people a lot. I think it's very important to understand that they have debt when they're doing this business. So if they're making a monthly payment, they're writing a check to the Norris Group for $2,000 every month.
Right.
They realize they have debt. It kind of helps them keep out of trouble. If not, they have a tendency maybe to borrow too much money, and then all of a sudden they have to start making payments on five deals all at once.
Right.
Well, maybe they can't handle that, but they would have known that if they were making monthly payments.
That's correct. They would have known that their limit was reached
right.
way before.
Exactly.
Are there types of properties that we probably aren't going to loan on?
Yeah, we don't lend on anything that's commercial.
Okay.
There can be problems with soil, et cetera, et cetera. We generally don't do land either, especially right now. We're not looking at land. It's not real glamorous sometimes being a property investor and a hard money lender if you're doing it the way we do it. A lot of it is very cookie cutter stuff, or it's something that really makes a lot of sense. I mean, we've done a loan recently where it was $1.5 million construction loan, which really doesn't sound like something we'd do, yet it was with an established client, and he structured the purchase of the land where the seller carried over $1 million behind us.
Okay.
So that just made sense. So we do a lot of cookie cutter type stuff, single families, units, and then other things that just make sense and we can't not do.
You kind of hit on something that is very important in our business, and it's the building of a relationship. So what is it that borrowers can do that make you feel very comfortable with their intent? And what are some of the things that they do that you really are concerned about us being their number one source?
Yeah, I think really just doing what they say is really the most important thing. I don't ever expect everybody to be a Bruce Norris as a buyer, and I tell them that sometimes because a lot of people come in and you know they want to set the world you know by 20 or 30, and that's not for everybody. But I think people that just do what they say, make payments on time, fix up the properties, and frankly, if they get into a little bit of a problem, if they'll call me. You know, not disappear.
Right.
I think when that person has that disappearing quality, that's probably the number one problem that we face is you don't want to have a problem with somebody you can't get a hold of.
Absolutely.
One of the other things that would probably, as far as on the negative side, if somebody really wastes your time, you know, that doesn't really look good because we all just want to do what we say and perform, but we can't be chasing a lot of false leads.
What repetitive mistakes have you seen investors make in the past 12 months, would you say?
I think right now they're just paying a little too much.
Okay.
I think they haven't dropped their wholesale price enough, and it's getting a little easier to buy, but a lot harder to sell. And I don't think that they've matched those two yet. I think that means they have to get a much better buy to compensate for the difficulty in selling.
In the coming cycle, where prices probably will be gradually receding, there may be investors that are so new to the game where they think, okay, the good times are over, and because inflation isn't kicking up everything, there's really not opportunity. You and I got introduced in a cycle that was just the opposite of that and one that we're about to repeat. So what do you think of the investor opportunities that are coming?
Well, when we first met, it was probably about 6 months or a year from now in the last cycle. And I saw you fax over to my office deal after deal at 40 cents on the dollar. So
anybody, that was fun, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Six at a time. Why all the other people in my office were trying to get one.
Right.
And so anybody that thinks there aren't opportunities, I mean, I have just seen it for the last 15 years in every market possible. And I know the one that we're coming into is probably the best that they could hope for.
Absolutely. So there's just going to be lots of opportunity.
Yeah. If they're patient. I mean, they don't have to do it all tomorrow. That's key. It's just be a little bit patient and be ready to go.
Well, when you and I met, it basically revolutionized my business and made it grow beyond my wildest imagination. Craig, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Craig can be reached at 951-780-5856 at the Norris Group, and we look forward to talking with you next week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com. or email questions and or comments to radio@thenorrisgroup.com. We'll see you next week at 5:30 here on News Talk 590 KTIE.